So we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, 3 to verse 5. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory, of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ.
Thanks, Drew. Thank you very much. Please keep page 1184 open. And here is a Church of England joke. Here's a Church of England joke. Heard from the pulpit of a church not too far from here. Why is the Church of England like a swimming pool? Why is the Church of England like a swimming pool? Answer: because all the noise comes from the shallow end. All the noise comes from the shallow end. Do you get it? It's a good joke. You can laugh. It's a good joke, I think. But it is also making a serious point, saying in the Christian church there is a deep end and a shallow end. At one end you have the deep Christians who understand the deep mysteries, and at the other end you have the children who splash about and bang their drums and make all the noise, the shallow Christians with their basic childish understanding. Do you get it? It's about us. Welcome to the shallow end. Thank you for putting down your rubber ducky long enough to listen to a sermon. Now, here is a piece of Church of England kindness. And I mean this. This is something from a real friend who has been genuinely helpful, and this is him trying to be kind. He said, "Your kind of church is a great place for people to begin as Christians. And then when the time comes for them to really grow as Christians, they move to a church like mine." Do you hear it? A friend being kind, saying this is the primary school and their church is the university. Do you hear the same serious point? That's our issue this evening. It is, how do Christians grow? Where is the best place for Christians to grow? And my aim this evening is not to make you cross with the person who told the joke, but every Christian should long to be at the deep end. If I'm comfortable being a shallow child, then shame on me. Every Christian should want to know more, to do far more than just begin, but to grow. And every Christian will hit times in their lives when they feel sure they're stuck at the shallow end. And when that happens, you need an answer to how do Christians grow, or you will go for the first thing that sounds wise and deep. We said last week that this is a warning letter, the letter of Colossians. We said the first word of verse 23 is the most frightening word in the book. Verse 21, you've gone from being God's enemy to being God's friend. One day, verse 22, you'll stand before God, holy, blameless, and above reproach, if you continue. This is a warning letter. Don't shift. 2 verse 4 in tonight's reading. I say this so that no one will delude you. 2 verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive. This is a warning letter to a church in danger. And the repeated words, they tell us why they're in danger. The repeated words are all, every, each one, full, fully, fullness, filled. Just in our reading tonight, we've got filling, fully known, all, full assurance, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We imagined a religious door-to-door salesman last week in Colossae. He knocks on the door and he is selling what every Christian should want. You can have more. You can have fullness. Don't be stuck at the shallow end. Don't stay where you began. Come with me and grow. That's what he's saying. And the big idea last week is written there on the handout. Kev said at the beginning, it's this. It's that Jesus equals everything. And that is still the heartbeat tonight. Look down at 2 verse 3. One of the apprentices reminded me that this is the pirate verse. 2 verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. As if some pirate had got hold of all the treasure in the world, every last piece of gold, and hidden them somewhere. And on their map, X marks the spot. Where are they hidden? Paul says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. In whom? That means the same person as in Christ at the end of verse 2. If you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. So if you want the depths and the heights of the Christian life, you need Jesus. And we could have gone straight from 1 verse 23 to 2 verse 6 to say that. Do you see? But Paul gives us 11 verses about himself in between. Anyone think that as Rue was reading? 1 verse 23, don't move. 2 verse 6, grow in him. But in between, 11 verses about Paul and Paul's ministry. Why do that? Well, because Paul's ministry is how they get access to Jesus. It's no good Jesus being everything if Paul's ministry is no good. There may be all the food you want in the world in the kitchen, but if the waiter brings it to you served in Doll's House teacups one by one, then I'm never going to grow big and strong. Doesn't matter how big Jesus is if Paul's ministry isn't up to anything. So we need to know, how do Christians grow? And I've put the key steps in Paul's logic down on the handout. You might want to follow that through to make sure you get it. Point one, proclaiming Jesus is everything ministry. Look down at verse 28, chapter 1, verse 28, which is the key verse, because it tells us what Paul actually did. So he says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect, mature in Christ. And that's what Paul actually does. He proclaims him, which means he proclaims Jesus. Paul proclaims Jesus, which means he does lots of warning and teaching. Proclaiming, warning and teaching. And maybe you can see why the Colossians worried that this ministry was a bit limited. Because all Paul is saying that he does is talk. That's all he does. He talks. But just look at the big claims he makes about it. Verse 25, he's like God's steward for you, according to the stewardship that was given to me for you. And how big is the job? Well, read on. To make the word of God fully known. There's one of the buzzwords of the salesman. Paul says his job is a fullness job, an everything job. His job is to make the word of God fully known. Or 1 verse 26 and 27, look at God's aim when he made Paul his steward. 26, there was a big secret, the mystery hidden for ages and generations. And I can't prove it, but I bet my two front teeth that the salesmen in Colossians were saying they could uncover the big hidden mysteries of life. I bet that was in the sales pitch the hidden mysteries. Well, verse 26, there was a mystery, but now revealed to his saints. And saints doesn't mean St. Anthony and St. Catherine. Saints in the Bible means Christians. It's the people reading this letter. 1 verse 2 says, to the saints at Colossae. There was a big secret. It has now been revealed to Christians. And verse 27, that was God's choice. To them he chose to make known this mystery. God chose for normal Christians like the Colossians to know the riches of the glory of this mystery. So the salesman stands on the doorstep, rings the bell, and says, I can offer you the riches of the glory of the mystery. The mystery hidden for ages and generations. And Paul, from the sofa inside, yells down the hallway, I told you that mystery last week. You know it already. How can he make such big claims for a ministry that is just talking? Because, verse 27, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and him we proclaim. See, if Jesus really is everything, if you were convinced of that last week, if all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge are really in him, and Paul's ministry gives you Jesus, then it really is everything ministry. Fullness, all, every, deep, rich, glory ministry. If Paul tells you about Christ. That's what Paul thinks his job is, to make fullness fully known. And that is what God aimed to do, to make known the riches of his mystery. So the salesman offering more is saying that God didn't get his way and that Paul didn't do his job. Proclaiming Jesus, which is just a fancy word for talking about Jesus, that is everything ministry. If you have that, you have Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you have everything you need. Do you see how the logic fits? But maybe we need to clear away a few misunderstandings before we go any further. I've got two that I thought of. One of them, I'm not saying that any talking with the name of Jesus attached to it does this. I'm not saying you can just talk and talk and talk and stick Jesus in there every now and then and you've done everything, given them everything. 1 verse 23 warns us not to move. And it does it in very specific terms. It says, if you continue in the faith, not shifting from the hope, but it's not enough just to be a hopeful kind of person. It needs to be the hope of the gospel. And it's not enough just to stick with a gospel. It has to be the gospel that you heard. And it has to be the same one proclaimed in all creation under heaven. In other words, there is only one gospel for every different country, every different type of person, every different race, and for every time in history. Which makes sense, doesn't it? If the big secret in world history has been revealed, if Jesus was the big secret, though he's been revealed, then this is the gospel. And actually, even more specifically, you need to stick with the same gospel of which I, Paul, became a minister. Which is why his ministry needs 11 verses. It's not any kind of talking about Jesus that is everything ministry. It's talking about Jesus in the same way that Paul talked about him. Second thing I don't want you to misunderstand on is I'm not saying that it's enough to find a minister who believes that gospel. Okay, so I believe that gospel. I believe in that Jesus. And Paul would say, good, but do you proclaim him? See, Paul's actually really very careful in verse 28. It says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone. Do you see that the stress on both positive and negative teaching needs to be warning and teaching, needs to be both. It only counts as everything ministry if you say all of it to all of the people. If there are some parts of the teaching about Jesus that I won't say because it's too negative, or it would be too kind of scary, or if there are some people that I'm too scared of to warn, then I'm not passing on the secret that was hidden and then revealed. And they don't have access to all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what we're not saying. But Paul is saying that if somebody teaches all of his gospel to all kinds of people, then those people have everything. And Paul needs to say it because to people in every age, that has always looked a bit limited. Just talking. Are you sure that's where everything is? And it's clear, definitely, with the people behind the joke and the kindness that we began with. See, they're not saying that the deep end is where there is more thinking or more teaching or more academic rigor or better qualifications. In fact, one of the things they don't like about us is that we're too academic and that we preach such long and tedious sermons, do too much teaching. And the people claiming to have depth and the people claiming to be the place of growth, they're astonished when I tell them that people go on listening. They'd be astonished that anyone was still listening after 6 minutes. You know, sometimes I have to say, no, they think, as far as I can tell, most of them, they are still listening. Their point isn't that you need to up the level of teaching, far from it. Their point is that talking, preaching, warning, teaching, that is not where depth, fullness, and growth comes from. That's what they're saying. And I don't want anyone to think that today we're talking just about religious style, as if the issue was about clothes or about music. That would be a tragic misunderstanding. They say the noise is down the shallow end, and the important point isn't about who has the better swimsuits or even about who is making the most noise, really. This isn't about clerical dress or whatever you think this is, or this isn't about quiet meetings versus noisy ones. This isn't about classical music versus whatever kind of music you think Leo is churning out. The issue is, how do Christians grow? And huge numbers of people are glad that you like Jesus and glad that you've begun with teaching about him, but would say that now you need to move on to where the depth and the fullness is. And whatever they pull out of their door-to-door salesman's bag, Paul says there is nothing you need in there. Whether that is worshipful silence or holy objects or holy places or holy buildings or religious practices, there is nothing more there. If Paul's proclaiming ministry gives you Jesus, then you have everything. And silence is obviously not wrong. We could do some now. We could do some silence. Silence is not wrong. Where you meet, it's not wrong to meet in old buildings. I'm going to drive off to one in about half an hour's time. But you are not a shallow, immature, stunted Christian if you only have sermons and Bible studies. There is no more kind of ministry out there, because it is talking about Jesus that gives you everything. And to Paul hit previous point, Paul moves on to tell us what kind of Christians you get from his talking, from his proclaiming. So second point, proclaiming Jesus leads to everything Christians. Look back down at our key verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that, he proclaims Jesus, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This proclaiming Jesus ministry leads to mature Christians. And to hear how big a claim that is, we need to understand the word mature properly. I think today, mature basically means the same thing as boring. As in, when I grow up and become mature, or can't you stop throwing grapes at your brother's head and be a bit more mature? But in the Bible, it means far more than that. It is a growth word. It's about growing up. That's what it's doing in this section. How do Christians grow? How do they become mature? But it is about the final destination not just about the journey. It is actually the same word as perfect. The original Greek word under here is the same word that gets translated perfect. I've put a couple of references on the sheet if you want to check them later. In one of them, Jesus tells his disciples to be perfect, mature, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. In the other one, Paul is talking about Christian growth into maturity, which he says is to reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I suspect this is another one of the salesman's words. Come with me. Come with me. Move from being an okay Christian, a level one Christian, to being a perfect Christian. And Paul says we proclaim Christ so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Do you hear how big that is? He's not saying he's doing the best he can. He's not saying he is really trying. He's not saying this is the best kind of ministry available for now until something better comes along. He's saying that proclaiming Christ creates perfect Christians, because the link goes through Jesus. Jesus is everything. So by proclaiming him, we become everything Christians. And before you panic, just like we said last week, that doesn't mean that we are already everything that we could be. Paul is planning to present us perfect in Christ on the same day talked about in 1 verse 22, when God also presents us holy, blameless, and above reproach before him. Those three example areas where I am not already everything I could be. But when I want more depth and wisdom and perfection and maturity, where do I need to go? Where do you get more? Well, you need to go to the ministry of Paul, meaning specifically the specific words of Paul we still have, and to ministry like Paul's that proclaims Christ. One of the unique and fun things about Colossians is there in 2 verse 1. 2 verse 1, Paul is saying all of this to a group of Christians that he has never met. He's never seen them face to face. They only have access to his gospel, his Jesus, through Paul's letters and through the ministry of somebody called Epaphras. And that's fun because we have never met Paul or his Jesus face to face. But we have access through Paul's letters and through ministry like his that proclaims Christ to everyone, warning and teaching. If you have this ministry, you have everything, and this ministry is what turns out perfect Christians. And I think that 2 verse 2 would be a great place to come when the sales pitch sounds most appealing. Maybe you've been here at Euston Church since the beginning, for 4 years, and you happen to be feeling pretty shallow as a Christian at the moment. And maybe you're wondering if there isn't something a bit more religious and mysterious looking that is missing. Maybe the mystery didn't all get revealed to Paul. And maybe there is more around the corner. Or maybe you can't find everything in Jesus. Or more likely, I suspect, you think Jesus is great, but you think you can't get everything there is about Jesus through talking, through sermons and Bible studies and quiet times. Well, get 2 verse 2 out whenever you feel like that and ask if this describes a shallow Christian or not. So Paul is struggling on in his mystery so that their hearts would be encouraged. And I hope you know that doesn't mean the very English kind of, I had a cup of tea and my heart is now feeling encouraged. And this is where heart change comes from. It's also where real unity comes from. Did you see that? Their hearts being knit together in love. And this is also how to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, of course, because in him are hidden all the treasures. See, I've seen people leave Bible teaching Christianity because they want good and wonderful things. Sometimes people leave because they want a particular sin and teaching Jesus is just in the way. But often It is because they want heart change, or unity, or love, or assurance, or full knowledge. You know, who wouldn't want to be at the deep end? Everybody should want to be at the deep end. But Paul says, if you have Christ proclaimed, then you are already at the deep end, because all the depths are in him. And this is everything ministry that produces everything Christian. So, point three, don't be deluded. So verse four, I say this in order that, in other words, he's talking so much about his own ministry, so that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. And you can see the opposite in verse five. The opposite is good order and firmness of your faith in Christ. It's when Paul isn't there, sticking with the ministry that he passed to them through Epaphras. And we said last week, didn't we, that we tend to be good at resisting the obvious enemies of the faith. We tend to put time and effort into protecting ourselves from anything that looks like it's running Jesus down. But this is a letter that says, watch out for the salesman with the big positive smiles. Don't let them sell you something that isn't Jesus, because you've got everything in him already. And I hope you can see where this week fits in and how important this week is. I'm finding this week quite difficult because I find it difficult to defend the ministry I'm involved in. You can hear somebody saying, you don't really believe your sermons and your Bible studies have anything of depth and fullness in them, do you? Don't really mean there's a danger in adding other types of ministry to Bible teaching. Well, praise God, Paul is explicit that there is nothing clever or amazing about him. Do you see that the suffering is all over this? His ministry is about suffering, and look down at verse 29, it's about struggling and toiling. He's a pathetic struggler and toiler, but the energy and the power comes from Christ, verse 29. And Christ works his energy and his power so that proclaiming Christ is powerful ministry. He chose to reveal the mystery that way. So yes, this is where depth and fullness comes from. And I could take you to 100 conversations I've had with people I know who used to be part of Bible teaching ministries. And you meet them after a couple of years. Weddings are classic for this. You've not seen them for a couple of years. They bound up and they are full of excitement about the pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela, or the silent retreat, or the meditation CD. And the rules of the conversation are, if you have these conversations, the rules of the conversation are that whatever they are into now and whatever they have left behind to get into it, as long as they say, but I'm still a proper Christian, I have to be happy for them. You had those conversations? Whatever they're into now, whatever they've left to be into it, you have to say, I'm happy for you. Well, I promise, I don't know how to persuade you this, I promise that I have nothing against 11th century churches, or against silence, or against retreating, or against CDs of waterfalls and whales sending texts. But, and I promise you as well, that I don't think you must stay in my church or listen to my sermons. Feel free not to. Go wherever you, am I allowed to say that? Go wherever you like. But I am not happy for them if they've left behind a ministry that was about proclaiming Christ because they thought they would get anything more from a different kind of ministry. I'm worried for them. I'm terrified for them. Verse 23. Because if they're leaving Christ, they're leaving everything. Christian ministry, your theory of Christian ministry is important because you can leave Christ by changing how you think ministry works. Or you can grow in him to fullness and maturity and perfection by sticking with teaching about him. I hope we see where this fits. So I want to leave you with two questions that I would love for you to write down now and then remember. And ask your neighbour or ask somebody else afterwards. Two questions. How do you think Christians grow? That's the first one. How do you think Christians grow? And second question, let you write that first one down. First one, how do you think Christians grow? Second one, where are you being deluded by somebody offering deeper ministry? You can take the word deluded out if you think I've made that up. And where are you being offered deeper ministry? I was just talking about that, could be very important. I'm going to pray and then I'll hand back over to Kev. Dear Father God, praise you for choices that you made even where we don't understand them really. Praise you that in Jesus you've given all the fullness. Father, we understand that one. He is amazing. He is wonderful. Everything is in him. But Father, you also chose that through preaching, teaching, warning, talking, we would have access to all those treasures. That as we speak to each other about the Lord Jesus, as we study your word in the Bible, we could have him and grow in him and grow up to maturity till we could be presented holy and blameless and perfect in him. Father God, please convince us that your way for us to grow is the right one, that we would cling to it all our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.